Effective commercial slogans are obvious because we remember them. And one of them back in the good old days of the 70s, I think maybe into the 80s, was the one that there'd be a group of people in a room and all of a sudden someone would lean over to someone and whisper who their stockbroker was. And then the line would say, what was it? When E.F. Hutton talks. That's right. People listen. Remember that one? I was with Carla an afternoon several years ago, but I remember well, we had driven into a kind of a little shopping center, strip mall type area. And as we drove in, there was one of the street people, as we had many of them in Phoenix, especially during the winter months. And he was there and he was just telling someone something. And he was being extremely dramatic as he was talking. And I kind of noted him as we drove in. Well, then it was probably 20 minutes later. We had done our shopping, whatever it was. And we were leaving and there he was again. And he was still talking to that same person with all that intensity. And I remarked to Carla, man, he's just going at it. He's got a captive audience. And I realized many times that's kind of the case with some that are in the plight that he is in. But I later thought, really, it's not so much that he wants to talk as much as I think he just wants somebody to listen. And listening is a wonderful gift that you can give to a person, isn't it? When you give them your heart, whenever you really, really listen, you give them your heart. I think we all can understand as parents how much we want our kids to listen to us. I was getting out of the car this morning, and as I did, there was someone coming really early for the early, before the early service, was crossing the street with their child, and I could just hear him in the background, and he yelled, "Son, listen to me, you're crossing a street." I mean, remember those days. Then they get a little bit older, and it's like, "Teenager, listen to me. At anything, just listen." How many know what I'm talking about? You know, especially when you're teaching them how to drive. I reflected this past week on a story, and I actually have permission from Whitney to tell this, but this takes us back 8 years now. Whitney was 15 years old, and I was teaching her how to drive, and she had her learner's permit there in Arizona, and so she was driving then my car, and I tended to be a lot of times in that passenger seat, and I was just constantly giving instruction, and there was a Sunday night that we had church gone by Wendy's on the way home to get some Frosties, I think it was, and no one was out. It was kind of an eerie, as I reflect back. It was kind of strange, but there was hardly anyone there. And we were there just joining Power Road. The mall is across the street. Target Center's right there and the Wendy's. And so as we were driving, we came up to that light. And Whitney quickly pointed out that her mother, because she was really in the gear of learning. So she's like, "Mom is not exactly in the turning lane, Dad." And I said, "Well, honey, I know that. Don't worry about your mom. Just worry about, but she's not really." I said, "I know, Whitney. Just worry about your own driving, okay?" And I went into my instruction mode. And oh, she listened so well. So we were headed home then. We were home in about 5 minutes, and we pulled up, and Carly kind of swung wide and opened up the cul-de-sac so that she'd have plenty of room. I mean, she really went wide. Plenty of room for Whitney to be able to come and kind of navigate up our driveway. And so she did, and the driveway kind of had a turn to it, and both cars would be next to each other, so Carla was really wise. And so Whitney pulled into that first, the tight spot there on the left-hand side, and I'll never forget this moment. But I was just giving her instruction all the way. And now, you know, go in easy, go in slow. I was probably talking a little bit too much. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, just as we came to that point of a stop, we went. Are you tracking with me at all? How many of you know when you enter a garage, it's time to stop? So, and I mean, she floored that little Altima. And we went flying into the nice wood-paneled cabinets with all the paint cans, everything beautifully arranged. And we went on through, and the next morning I discovered that dining room wall was just shoved forward several inches. Pulled that car out. My girls claim to this day they heard a word that they've never heard their dad say. I debate that highly. I say I did not, but they say we heard a word. I don't know what the word even was. Don't ask them. Just leave it at that. That's all I can say. I never forget, I got out of the car. Maybe I said that word, I don't know, but I just looked at it. $2,800 damage to the car, $650 of cabinetry had to be replaced. Here was the fun part. In 5 days, the entire staff, 50-plus people, were coming to our house for dinner. How many of you know love covers a multitude of sins? So I said to Whitney on Monday night, I said, "Okay, here's our plan. We're going to empty out the cabinets Monday night." And I went down the list of everything we were going to do. And by Friday, I was painting the final touch up to that baseboard in the dining room. And the cabinetry was back in. Everything was put back in. And we had pulled off an absolute miracle. And I said, "Because I love you and I'm covering for you. Do you understand how much I love you right now?" I called her last night because I had something else in mind to begin with. Really, this is our whole sermon. We can close in prayer right now because I think that's quite a lesson. But I called her and said, honey, you mind if I tell that? She just smiled and said, no, Dad. I mean, she's 23, pregnant. She's on her way in life, you know, married, all of those things. So anyway, how many of you wish your kids would listen to you better, though? Oh, in that moment, I thought, I just wish she would have listened. Wish she would listen. At the heart of our character today, we're in our last person listed in Hebrews 11. And it's been a journey. We've been going through this chapter, if you're new to us today, and there's all these different portraits of faith. And the one that we come to today actually is a perfect illustration of the importance of listening. And as we look through many of these, when you come to think about it, Noah and Abraham and Moses and the Israelites and Gideon and Samson and Jephthah and David, all of them, what they did by faith is a result of what they heard from God. And so as we come down to the story of Samuel, we will see a key aspect is him hearing God and responding. He came at a pivotal time in Israel's history. You might call him by far the most important judge in Israel's history because of the time that he came in Israel's history. And it probably wasn't what his mother Hannah had in mind as she prayed and said, oh God, if you'll open my womb, I would love to have a son, and I will give that son to you, and he will serve all of his days in the tabernacle. I will give him to you for ministry. And it probably wasn't quite the atmosphere that she had in mind. The tabernacle then was at Shiloh. Shiloh was a center of the religious activity for Israel and the worship, the tabernacle, since the time of Joshua, centuries before. And Eli now was the high priest, and he was an aged man, and his sons were serving with him. And one verse kind of says it all, if you just back up into chapter 2 quickly, verse number 12. It says, Eli's sons were wicked men, and they had no regard for the Lord. Many translations read it that they did not know the Lord. Eli had lost total control. His sons were sleeping with the women that served at the tabernacle. They were mishandling the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices, that they were able to eat of as priests in that day. They were making a total mockery of God's worship and of really what the tabernacle was all about. And Eli had gone to his sons and he had spoken to them about it. But verse number 25, if you drop your eyes down a bit in the text, says, his sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke. Had that verse not been there, it might tell a different story. But they would not listen. It's such a pivotal story, not only to Israel's history, but pivotal to spiritually what was happening in Israel, that by the end of this little story, by the end of chapter 3, we don't hear again about Shiloh, other than that Shiloh became a place of desolation. Jeremiah writes of Shiloh and Psalms references Shiloh, but this is coming, bringing to the very end the worship of God in the tabernacle at Shiloh. Spiritual ruins remains. So it's within this context that Samuel is raised as a little boy under Eli's tutelage and no doubt the influence of those two ungodly sons. But once again we see, as we've seen for weeks now, God had a man in mind. And if you look with me in verse number 35, bringing your eyes down to verse 35, God said to Eli, I'm going to raise up for myself a faithful priest. What an indictment on Eli. But I'm going to raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and my mind, because Eli no longer was faithful. Then we open up the story, chapter 3. Many of you know it very well, but let's read through the text together. Verse number 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call, go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Say that with me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's the heart of this message. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Picture that little boy. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. If you notice where we've gone in a single chapter, verse number 1, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. Verse number 21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Next chapter opens, verse number 1, and Samuel's word came to all of Israel. God's word was rare. He spoke to Samuel through his word. Samuel's word went to all of Israel. It was a season that, due to the leadership at that time, it seemed as if God had grown quiet, that God wasn't speaking any longer. And this is not an uncommon thing as we go through Israel's history. It's a pattern, actually, so many times that it would seem as if God was not speaking any longer, that he was silent to Israel, and then the people had turned their back on God so far and gone into sins and idolatry, and then all of a sudden, it's as if God is speaking again. But you know why? Because someone was listening. If someone was listening, they would realize God was speaking. He was always speaking. And the fact is, and the question for you and I today is real simple. God is speaking, and I'd ask you today, are we listening? Because I'm convinced God always is speaking. Even in the darkest hours of Israel, God was speaking. Even in the darkest hours of church history, God was speaking. Even today, when many question what is going on in our nation, what is going on in our world, I am convinced right now, as ever before in my life, God right now is speaking. The question is, are we listening? And Samuel's story lays out for us, I think, three things that just underscores for us about listening. The first one is this, that to listen to God takes a learning to discern his voice, verses 9 and 10 especially. I mean, what a contrast. You have a little boy just beginning to be able to hear God's voice and know what God's voice is. And then you have an elderly man who for years heard the voice of God and apparently no longer was. But see, when God spoke to Eli, he was speaking to a man with all the credentials, a man with a pedigree, a man whose lineage goes all the way back to the days of Moses when he brought down the pattern for the tabernacle and the priesthood and all of the law and all of the requirements of the sacrifices. And in that lineage comes this man named Eli. And yet if you notice in chapter 2, there was a word that was brought to Eli, and it's a very generic term. It simply says, a man of God came and spoke to Eli. And you think how tragic, because Eli wasn't listening himself. And it took this man, we don't know who he was, but he came and he gave a very bold word to Eli. And he asked him then this question. He said, "Eli, why do you honor your sons more than you honor me?" Wow, what a question. And meanwhile, this night comes around. A night in which God says, I'm going to begin to speak now to that faithful priest that I'm going to raise up in Israel. And lying at the ark, by the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God there in Israel, the heart of the tabernacle, the Lord calls young Samuel. And Samuel runs to Eli and says, "You called me?" And he says, "No, it wasn't me. Go and lay back down." And he does it again, and he runs to Eli, and he says, "No, it wasn't me. Go back and lie down." And again, there's that commentary, verse number 7, just kind of slipped in there. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. He's just a little boy. He's just learning what it is to hear the voice of God. So then a third time God speaks. And this time he's standing right there. And Samuel runs back and he says, Eli, is it you again? I'm here. And he says, no. But this time Eli realizes this is God speaking. So he tells Samuel, then whenever you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So verse number 10, the Lord came and he stood there, calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant's listening. What an incredible moment for that little boy. But see, this is a turning point in Israel's history. I wonder what Eli thought as he lay there that night, thinking God is speaking just to the room next to me here. And he's speaking to a little boy, and my ears seemingly are closed, my heart is closed. I'm sure for that was a soul-searching moment for Eli to realize God is no longer talking to me. He's now beginning to speak to this little boy. But see, God's speaking all the time. Even at times that you and I look at history and we think that God was silent, God wasn't silent. He needed someone to listen. When Martin Luther was following that pattern of several earlier reformers beginning about the 12th, 13th century, all the way into the early 16th century, it was Martin Luther hearing from God and bringing a climax to that Reformation period in church history. John Knox, the same in England or in Scotland, John Wesley in England, Evan Roberts later in Wales. We see it over and over again in history at times when things seem so dark, but God was speaking. It just took a man to hear him and to respond to the voice of God. How about you and I today? Are we hearing God speak? Do you think God is speaking? What is God saying to us? What's he saying about our nation? What's he saying about our church? What's he saying about your relationship with him, your family, your marriage, your parenting, your relationships, your college years, whatever? What is God wanting to speak to you now? See, I've learned it through the years. I've seen it, and I'm sure in my own life, there have been seasons like that. But there are certain times that sometimes we don't want to hear God really speak. So we almost, in a sense, kind of put him on a shelf for a little bit and later think we'll pull him back out. It's almost a form of idolatry, isn't it? Because he's God. And if he wants to speak to you today, you need to be listening. And whatever the word is he wants to speak to our hearts today, we need to be listening. See, God's always speaking. For one reason, because he has spoken. And I've referenced this verse now a couple of different times because I love, as it ties to chapter 11, I love the way Hebrews opens verse number 1 of chapter number 1. It says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, say it with me out loud, he has spoken to us by his Son. See, that's radical. That's historical. It's that God had spoken through prophets. God had spoken through creation. God had spoken in so many ways. But when we come, as the writer says, in these last days, we are living in an amazing hour today. And it was an amazing hour almost 2,000 years ago whenever Jesus Christ had come in the form of flesh. God was speaking like never before. John described him as the Word, the expression, the message of God. And that's why, see, if people don't want to hear Jesus, then they really want to hear from God. And so many in the pluralism of our day, well, I can hear from God in different ways. Listen, if you're not hearing from Jesus, you're not hearing from God. Because the expression of God is through the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. That's why he's so dear to us, why we worship him, why we celebrate his life. We too have to learn to listen to Jesus. And God speaks in various ways. Matter of fact, we go back from the very moment that his very word spoke creation. It says from that moment forward, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Romans chapter 1 says that when we look at creation, God is speaking to us. Men cannot have an excuse because they've seen his creative work. God spoke, of course, through his Son, his miraculous conception, his sinless life, his teachings, his miracles, most of all, what we just did. And Pastor Nick prayed that. We proclaim your death, that word we preach. We preach the word whenever we receive communion elements together to say we to the world believe in Jesus Christ, in his body and his blood, his sacrifice for us. He speaks through his written word. He speaks through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you today? Don't take it lightly. It's easy in the early service this morning. We were at a moment of worship, and a man gave a message in tongues, and then a word responded, followed that, and I'm careful now. And it can be easy for us sometimes to get a little bit callous and just kind of blow that moment off. But see, God is speaking through the Holy Spirit. Isn't it neat to serve a living God? A God that knows right where you and I are at. And I've been there many times, and there have been pivotal moments in my life that a message was given, and I needed it. One of the most pivotal moments of my life, I knew God was speaking to me through a little lady, however many rows back. God was speaking to me. He speaks through the quietness of our times with Him, solitude and prayer. That's why if you're here and you never quiet yourself, you never just really find that time alone with God. It doesn't matter when. You've got 24 hours in the day. It may be when you lay there in bed. I've kind of made a practice and for quite some time because I tend to wake up quite early. And I'll just lay there for a few minutes with the Lord. Many times He will speak. Just take your quiet, that solitude moment with Him. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a wonderful writer years ago, he was talking about all the ways that God speaks. And then he said this. He said, then God sometimes answers directly in our spirit. He says, God speaks to me by speaking in me. He can so lay something upon the mind that we're certain of the answer. He can impress something upon our spirits in an unmistakable manner. And Lloyd-Jones goes on to say that in those moments, it's almost like you can't get it out of your mind or you can't get it out of your heart. It's almost something hard. The impression is so strong. But I can tell you today that if you let it go many times, it won't come back. And I've been there and I've learned that lesson through the years. There are times that God has impressed something upon my heart, upon my mind, and it'll come and it'll come again and it'll come maybe a third time. And if I don't act upon it, it just leaves. And at times I've had to go back and remember God was speaking to me, but oh, I found Him do that. Multiple times I've regretted He has laid someone on my mind, my heart as a pastor, and I haven't picked up the phone and called. Or a situation. And it could be something, see, that He's warning or He's letting me know about it. And I just kind of, in the busyness of it all, I failed to stop and realize we need to deal with that situation as leadership or the church, whatever. Because God is speaking. He's speaking all the time. I've had uncommon moments and I've had common moments. And everything in between, times that God was speaking. But the greatest of all is that He speaks to us through His written word. Aren't you thankful for this book today? I'm so glad last week, that fire Bible offering, that's exciting. $10 a Bible and over $9,000 comes in. I can't even do that kind of math, but that's exciting to me. God's Word, Gideon's. Aren't you thankful for the Gideon's ministry through the years? I think of Wycliffe translators. I'm so thankful. And I've had dear friends that have gone in where the Bible wasn't in that language. And they've gone in to learn the language and then to be able to make sure that they have God's word. We take it so for granted today. And I would say to you today, the primary way that God will speak to you is through His word. And you might say, oh, but it feels so dry. And we go through seasons like that, but that's because it's a relationship. I know what you mean, but I tell you this, if you persevere and you read the word of God, it is not a normal book. This book is living and it's active and it is sharper than any two-edged sword and it will divide between your soul and your spirit, your joints and your marrow. It will judge the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. This word is what equips every man for every good work. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So I promise you, you spend time with God. This right here is His God-breathed book. And He will speak to you through His word. The question is, as we hear Him speak, is whether we're listening. So the first thing is learning to discern His voice. And we learn that as we walk with Him. I was so thrilled Wednesday night at New Community afterwards. Young man that we just baptized a few weeks ago, and he's working through some things in his life right now, but as we stood there and talked, and I'm sure he's here this morning again, and he's so hungry for God, and we were discussing quieting ourselves and solitude and the place that quiet time has and the disciplines in our life, and you can tell he's so young and he's so excited about the Lord, but you know what? He wants to hear God, and you know what? He will. God will hear him. You draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. If you say, God, speak to my heart, He will speak to you. Seek after Him, and He'll respond to you. We have to learn to discern His voice, though. Second thing is, to listen to God takes a willingness to accept His word. To accept it. What a way for little Samuel to start what God had in store for him. It's a judgment upon Eli. It's the end of a priestly line. It's the end of Shiloh, if you will. It's an amazing moment. And little Samuel lays there, and I don't blame him. He lays there, and he's fearful. And can you imagine? I bet that poor little boy didn't get any sleep that night. And I mean, no, all little boys sleep. But I bet he laid there wide awake. And the next morning, he opens up the doors of the tabernacle so the worshipers could come, and those that come to minister can come in. What an amazing role little Samuel had. But he didn't want to tell. And yet we have to be willing to not only hear God, but we have to be willing to accept what he says. Matter of fact, Roger Barrier, he wrote a great book called Listening to God, Hearing God's Voice. And Roger said, hearing from God precludes the possibility that we can remain the same. Now, let me just say that again. Hearing from God precludes the possibility that we can remain the same. Once you hear from God, you have to do something with it. And his point is, the want-to issue of hearing God speak must be settled before the how-to part can draw us close to God. There has to be a desire within us. And again, the primary way, through the Word of God. Are there any parts of this book that you've read and you said, well, I've decided I'm going to reject that. Is there any part that you just say, I like to cut out, that's just not for me? Any part you say, well, that's not relevant for where we're at today in this culture, in this society, due to the sheer busyness of life? Is it really that in a maybe an implicit way you're letting God know, I really don't want to hear from you because I never open up this book and spend time with your word? That's what Eli might have done in his old age. I don't know, but it might have been that he just neglected hearing God's voice and that God was speaking. How many times I've spoken to someone who didn't like what I had to say? And you know the problem? The problem was it wasn't my word. It was God's word. How many times have you been in a position like that where you just wanted to close your ears, wanted to ignore what it is that God is saying, but yet he's speaking it so clearly? That's why many people turn away from the church. I've talked to so many through the years. They were raised in church, or maybe even in their early adult years, but then somehow they wandered away, and you know what? They no longer want to hear God, and they didn't like what they heard from God. And so they leave the church. Sometimes people leave a church because they don't want to hear from God. And they want to go, as Apostle Paul said, they want to go where their ears are tickled. They want to go where it's a lot easier, smoother message. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want anything that's going to challenge them. Listen, this is a very challenging book I hold. And God wants to call us. We're sheep. And what do sheep do? We wander. And Jesus calls us back lovingly as a shepherd, but many times he has to rebuke. He has to challenge us. Many people just move to a different class or connect group, whatever it is, because whatever God is speaking, we don't like it, and so we want to move on. But like David last week, you know what we need to do? We need to constantly tune our hearts. And the way we retune ourselves to him is when God speaks to us, we respond and we accept the spoken word, whatever it might be. But really, the gist of this, like the heart of it, is in the third point today. And that is to listen to God takes a determination to act upon his message. Now follow me in this. Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. So Eli comes and says, hey, what did God say to you last night? And Samuel then, I'm sure with quivering voice, because he has an admiration, regard, respect for Eli, he's the priest. And so he tells him what God said. And Eli, what sad words, final words for a man's life. He says, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Judgment's going to come. But see, listening or hearing God means nothing unless you respond to his word. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And what is faith? Faith is what pleases God. And we've looked at it through chapter 11 over and over again. Every single portrait, it seems like every single man or woman, the entire nation of Israel, they heard from God and then they responded. They obeyed the voice of the Lord in their lives. If you and I were writing Hebrews 11, we could add a verse right in there. We could say, by faith, Samuel learned to discern God's voice, chose to accept his word, and was determined to act upon whatever God spoke to him. Because that's what marked this young boy into the man that he became. And it not only marked him, but you end chapter 3, and we pick up chapter 4, verse number 1. The word of the Lord came to Israel through Samuel. Think of it. For many of us here today, we've heard plenty. I mean, seriously, think about it. How many sermons have we heard preached, some of us? How many times have we gone to church and heard a message, and at the close of the message there was something, or during the message we sense God is challenging me right now, God is speaking to my heart right now. How many times did we at the close say yes, Lord, to whatever it was, but then we went right on with our life and we didn't act upon it? We accepted it, but then we didn't move on it. How many times, not to mention those times that you're alone with God and He speaks to you through His Word. You might be a journaler. You might be writing it out as we will in this lib dead. I'm telling you, God will speak to you in September. You pick up that book. I guarantee you He'll speak to you through those little devotionals and through His Word. And you respond. But then how many times does it not lead to obedience? See, poor little Samuel, he had to obey. He had to obey and give the Word of the Lord. He was beginning and learning the biggest lesson to hearing God. This one man put it to me just recently. He said, Jeff, we have been more educated beyond any of our obedience. That's so true. And yet in many ways we want more knowledge while God wants us to take what we do know and to put it into action. That is the substance of faith today. And many times we don't need another sermon. We need to live the thousands of sermons we've already heard. We don't need another church service. We need to go out and be the church many times. And yet this is very comforting and I love being with you. But you know what? We have to leave here and obey what God tells us to be in our world. We are the church. We don't just have church. And so we have to, in obedience, be salt and light in our world. Could I hear an amen this morning? Amen. Hebrews 11 is a forum on listening. Noah heard and he built. Abraham heard and he went. Moses heard and he led Israel. Israel heard and they marched around the walls. Israel heard and they stepped out into the water. Samuel heard and he led Israel at a pivotal time in Israel's history. And what a difficult word for that little boy to give. Yet the chapter closes, verse 19, if you caught that, and we'll close this morning. But look down to verse 19 again. What an interesting commentary. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. He was with him as he grew up, and none of his words fell. Do you remember last week as we looked at David, and Samuel goes to Bethlehem, and he's going to anoint David as the king. And do you remember it says that the elders of the town came out, and they were trembling in fear, and they said, do you come in peace? And Samuel said, yes, I did. And they all took a collective sigh of relief. Because Samuel, if he came with a word from the Lord that was stern or a warning, sometimes it scared the people, because God didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. In other words, everything Samuel said brought the power of God in it, and it accomplished what God wanted to do. Do you know why? Because, come back to the beginning, he learned to listen well. And what he heard from God, he gave to the people of Israel. God wants every single one of us here to do the same thing. First thing, though, we have to learn to discern how God speaks. And we're all at different places in this, and you might be at a real dry time. I could just challenge you. Keep going to church. Keep reading your Bible. Keep getting together with other believers. Keep iron sharpening iron. Keep it up, because God's going to hear you. Above all, keep having a quiet time with the Lord. Meet with Him. He'll speak to you, I promise. You might be here and you're saying, I've heard from Him and I don't want to obey. That's a really difficult point to be in, isn't it? I've been there. But you know, when God speaks and you know that He's spoken, you don't want to disobey Him. And even for little Eli, or little Samuel, to develop that in his life, to obey the voice of the Lord, it's so important in our lives. And you might be at that juncture right now that you're like, I really don't want to do what God is telling me to do. How many of you know if you do the will of God, it always is the best thing for you? I used to sing a simple little song back in the 70s. The Lord has a will, and I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will. And you know how you know His will and learn His will? It's by hearing Him speak to you and lead you. And He will. He's speaking. We have to discern, to learn how to discern His will, accept His will, determination to do His will. As I close, seriously, could there be anything else more important in life than what we've talked about today? I mean, think about it, seriously. Is there anything else more important to every one of us here, college student, senior citizen, everyone in between? Is there anything more important than us hearing from God and obeying God? because in the end, we came from him and we're going to go back to him. And so when you boil it all down, this whole thing, the first time you and I come to Christ, it's because we heard God speak to us. Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father unless he's drawn. No one comes unto me unless the Father draws him. So we know God draws, God speaks. You might be here today and you're away from God. You're apart from God. And however, wherever you came from to be here today, I'm letting you know right now, God's speaking to you. And he wants a relationship with you starting today. It might be that you're here and you're struggling with that, that God has spoken, you're really wrestling. And oh, today is the day that God right now is saying, would you just obey me and follow me into what I have for you? Because it's good. It's good. He'll never leave you, forsake you. And he'll bring you through whatever it is, trial or just wonderful mountaintop experience. He's there, but he's leading. He's leading. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes this morning? No one looking about, just for a moment. And this is a moment where really we have to separate as a couple. We separate just for a moment. But between you and God, husband, wife, single person, college student, fusion member, anyone here, whatever your age, wherever you're at in life right now, is there anything more important than that God speaks and you hear him and you accept it and you act upon it? What a beautiful picture Samuel gives us. How many of you would be here today and you say, Jeff, I've sensed recently God stirring something in my heart, speaking something, and I just need clarity. I just need to be sure, but I'm sensing God is speaking to me. If that's you, would you put up your hand real quick? I'm just curious. There's several hands, many. Father, I pray right now for everyone that just lifted their hand, and I pray, God, that you will make yourself clear and so real to them, and Lord, I pray that whatever it is that they're struggling with, maybe hedging on, whatever it is, God, I pray that they will hear clearly from you to know, Lord. And you'll speak either through your word, you'll speak into their heart, you may speak through a brother or a sister in Christ. You may speak, Lord, through a circumstance that they stand in, and all of a sudden, God, they're realizing you are speaking. Lord, I pray that you'll speak and they'll hear you clearly. And oh, Lord, I pray they'll accept it and act upon it in Jesus' name. Are there any here today, you lift your hand right now and say, Jeff, for me, God has spoken, but I'm having a hard time obeying him. And I'm wrestling with God right now. Is there anyone like that? You just put up your hand, just quickly. Anyone here, you're battling the will of God a little bit. I see that hand. Anyone else see that hand? There are just a few. Will you pray with me right now for these? Lord, we pray for these that are struggling. God, they know your will. They know you've spoken clearly. Then, Father, I pray that you will give them the grace and the wisdom and that they will have the determination to do your will, whatever it is that you've spoken to them, I pray. In the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen. Amen. Let's stand in his presence this morning. As Catherine plays, Pastor Tom is over at Evangel. They're having their opening chapel today. We'll welcome a lot of Evangel students next Sunday. But would you, if you will, as we close the service, just take a moment. In the quietness of this moment, could we just all commit ourselves to say, Lord, I want to hear from you this week. It might be that we need to recommit ourselves to a devotional life. Maybe you just haven't been in the Word the way you once were, whatever it might be, but today is a day that you realize you want to hear him in a clearer way. Maybe you've been seeking, you're like, Jeff, I'm dry, and I have been seeking him. And oh, let's pray and believe this is the week you're going to hear from God. God's going to minister to you. And we know Romans 8 says it's a spirit-to-spirit relationship. What Dr. Jones was talking about earlier as I read that quote, that he speaks to our hearts, our spirits, that's the way God is. And it's through his word, it's through a friend, it's in so many ways, it's through the message this morning. God has spoken to everyone here today. Clearly, he has spoken to you through his word. Let's be ready to accept it, respond to it, and may this be a great week for us. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. In response to your word right now, we just say, God, speak to me this week. You've already spoken. May I act upon today. May I act upon this sermon. May I act upon your word, Lord. And then I pray, God, for tomorrow, for Tuesday, Wednesday, I pray, God, that you'll just speak to us throughout our week. throughout our week, even our work week, Lord, the busyness. May there be times that we sense as we drive, God, you're there, you're talking to us. There's an impression upon our minds, our hearts. May we be ready and tuned to hear from you this week, Lord. I thank you, Father, for friends, for those loved ones around us, those that care about our spiritual condition. Maybe, Lord, we need to speak a bold word this week to someone. And I pray, God, we wouldn't shrink back, but like Samuel, we'll take the word you've given us and we'll speak it, I pray. In Jesus' name.